What would you have done? What would you have done high on a mountain with Jesus, apart from everyone else? Just the three of you, himself, and suddenly Moses and Elijah appear and are in conversation with Jesus, and suddenly in their sight, he appeared dazzling white. Emphasis on brightness, not whiteness. But the scripture itself says not even Kitty Roberts could bleach something that white. She bleached my alb. Brightness, such extraordinary brightness that they had never seen before. In fact, they literally see Jesus in a whole new light. What would you have done? Mark says Peter, James, and John were terrified. And Peter did not know what to say. So he exercised what many of us do. Maybe not every day, but pretty often in our culture does this too. He exercised what we know as the action bias. Don't just stand there, do something. Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. The sense of Peter's response, even though he was terrified and didn't know what to say, we can understand that his response was something like, don't just stand there, do something. But what would you have done? Would you have stayed there, lingered there in that magnificent glowing brightness of the transfigured Jesus Christ? Would you have been able to exercise a different option, a different bias? I'm not sure that I would have, but I hope that I could even now. And that bias is, rather than an action bias, an awe bias, A-W-E, or perhaps an adoration bias, the sense of which is, don't just do something. Stand there. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Jesus the Christ. On either side of him, Moses and Elijah, reflecting, as we remember every year at this time, only Jesus can balance perfectly the law and the prophets represented by Moses and Elijah. Only he can bring into harmony and right relationship all the institutions, rules and regulations, and all the innovations and breaths of fresh air, all of which are needed all the time. Tradition is a good thing to have. One definition of tradition is peer pressure from dead people. We need tradition. We need the things that have come before, and we need to sort for ourselves which parts to keep and which to let go. And that's where the other side comes in. Elijah reminding us that we need a fresh word. We need a new way of thinking in order to find our way forward together. It happens in every generation. It's happening to us now. And it's our privilege to be the people of God in the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement in this place, this community, here at the end of the road. But something else. Jesus, dazzling, bright, draws to their attention that this is something no one else has yet seen. This is something they don't know what to do with. The voice of God speaks a word of blessing, a word of reminder for Jesus, yes, but also for you. You are God's beloved. Particularly Jesus is God's beloved, and the voice of God says, listen to him. Do you hear him? Does he speak to you still in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you behold him? Does he stir you up? Does he call you to action where you are in the circumstances in which you find yourself? Do you see him? Do you listen to him? Because it never anywhere in Scripture says, believe these things about me. Never. It says, live my life, follow me. I'll teach you what you need to know. It's a lifelong pursuit, but it's not an individual sport. It's a team sport. So next, what happens? Jesus is left alone after God's voice speaks. Moses and Elijah have gone, or have they? For they are fully embodied in him. Jesus, Peter, James, and John make their way down the mountain. What does he say to them? They who have just heard God say, listen to him. He says, don't tell anyone about this until after I have been raised from the dead. Is Jesus asking them to keep a secret? Not exactly. Jesus is asking them to hold a confidence. Jesus is asking them to be trustworthy with this experience that they have shared, which none of them really have words for yet. It's not an individual sport. It's a life in community. It's a team sport. And we won't make it, no matter how long we stare at the glorious, dazzling, transfigured Christ, if we try to go it alone. It's not, Jesus is my boyfriend. It's, we're on the same team together. And we don't always like all our teammates, and we don't always all get along. But everybody has a part to play, and everybody has a gift to exercise. What we hear in Peter, James, and John, holding what they have experienced with Jesus, is what we all need. We need transparency in our public actions. We need transparency in our parish finances and all our parish doings, and we need to know that there are some people with whom we can share our deepest hurts and desires and concerns. They will hold it for us. They won't say anything to anybody else about it. They'll keep it in confidence. It's not just the seal of the confessional that you exercise with me. It's whether or not we can trust one another. When we make ourselves vulnerable, that's a gift. Can we hold it? Can I trust you? Will you hold this sacred experience, this powerful hurt, this secret I have never told before? It's a team sport. Jesus the Christ transfigured on this mountain. How can they do this for him? How can they not go and tell everybody what just happened? Because they have spent a lot of time together. They have built reliability and accountability. Yes, we see them over and over missing the point and kind of not getting it right. But by now, this is right before the Passion begins. And he knows they are his friends. We come to this Sunday every year at the cusp as we pivot from Epiphany season into the season of Lent. This day marks way back in Christian history, the beginning of what were known as the Great 100 Days. 100 days from today, on the day we mark the Transfiguration, which is different from the day of the Feast of Transfiguration, which is always on August 6th. But every year, you know it's the end of Epiphany when? Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain. It's the end of Epiphany. It's the beginning of the great 100 days. The first 50 of the 100 days are Lent. 40 days of Lent plus the Sundays. And then 50 days of Eastertide, because Easter isn't just a day, it's a season. And indeed, it is a season of our life, because we are people of the resurrection. We know that life is different because of the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus the Christ. It's something lots of people don't know. It's an assurance a lot of people are hungry for but don't have. We are offering, that's our value add. We're offering something different from the dominant view of how things go. We are not afraid of death, because if death, life is changed, not ended. We know life gives way to death, gives way to more life, different life, other life, better life. So we're not afraid. And that means we're not afraid, even when Ash Wednesday falls on Valentine's Day, which is going to happen in just a couple days. And that's the official beginning of Lent. And I want to invite you this year to think about this first 50 of the 50 days, of the great 100 days, as a season of loving service. So I started asking, what would you have done? And now I want to ask, what will you do? How will you mark this 50 days, this season of Lent? It's beginning now. What will you do? Will you take up something new? Will you try out something unfamiliar? We need more people to take the Eucharist to people who can't come here to receive the sacrament. Does that call to you to become a Eucharistic visitor? We need more people to help with the ushing. Don and John do it every week. We need more people to be the greeters and the receivers as folks come in for worship. Does that speak to you, to be a part of hospitality ministry? We can always use more choir members. Does the gift of song speak to you? If you try it and it's not yours, give it up. A parishioner just said this morning, I learned from someone else, another layperson, the service that I do isn't supposed to be a misery. It's supposed to be joyful. So you can let go of doing things that don't fit you. But what does fit you? What will you do in this season of loving service? You can give up chocolate if you want. You can give up ice cream if you want. You can also bring all of them to my house. But what will you do? What will you take up? What will you do? Will you become a volunteer with Loads of Love, our community laundry ministry? Will you become a volunteer with our ongoing collection of staple food items for Loaves and Fishes Pantry? Will you buy some diapers and bring them to the diaper drive that's happening this month of February? We're collecting them each Sunday and through the week. What will you do? What form will loving service take for you? Will you call somebody that you haven't talked to in a long time and say, I'm sorry? What will you do, having beheld the brightness of the transfigured Christ? This place sometimes is like a mountaintop. We come in here and it's different from the world outside. It's supposed to be. You might forget about the world when you're in here, but when we leave, after we have come to this table, we are empowered again for loving service. Transfiguration, what does it mean for us? A great doctor of the church is Saint Irenaeus of Lyon. He was bishop of Lyon in what is now France. He was born in Asia Minor, somewhere in what is now Turkey. He has a great pedigree. His teacher was Polycarp, which is about my favorite name from church history. And guess who Polycarp's teacher was? St. John the Divine, the apostle, the beloved disciple. That's pretty good, yeah? And Irenaeus of Lyon, you may have seen him quoted halfway, partway, in memes on social media or elsewhere. People love to quote this part. The glory of God is a human person fully alive. Isn't that fabulous? It is. But it's only the first half of the sentence. Irenaeus wrote, in the second century, mind you, the glory of God is the human person fully alive. And the life of humanity is to behold the glory of God. Having beheld the glory of God in the face of Jesus the Christ, what will you do? Amen.